Yeah, cyber attacks. You know, we talk about this every once in a while here on the air when the big ones happen. They happen, though, with troubling regularity, unfortunately. In other words, they're not all that unusual. Increasingly, though, and this is more worrisome, the targets are targets of vital importance. You've probably heard the stories about healthcare systems, hospitals, those sorts of things. But, you know, what about essential infrastructure like water treatment or those sorts of things? You know they're being targeted, and it's just a matter of time, I'm afraid. Hopefully I'm wrong, but it's definitely something that's been going on for a long time. It just seems to be getting worse. So let's find out why. We're going to chat with Charles Finley, who is the founding executive director of the Rogers Cybersecure Catalyst Center at Toronto Metropolitan University. Charles, thank you so much for joining us. I appreciate your time.
Good to be with you, Shay.
Hey, Charles, first of all, I mean, are they increasing in frequency? Is it just the fact that we're more tuned into them and we report on them more, or are they happening more often?
They are happening more often. We're also more tuned into them, which is a good thing. What's particularly troubling is a significant increase in the most dangerous kinds of cybersecurity attacks and ransomware attacks among them. So those are, you know, instances where a ransomware attacker will seize a network, seize an institution's technology capabilities, and only release those in exchange for payment of a ransom. Those attacks can be particularly devastating. As you noted in your intro, those are increasing significantly in respect of critical infrastructure, hospitals, transportation, communications, energy, municipal infrastructure. So this is a very, very serious challenge that is getting worse.
Yeah, and that's the scary part. So is it that there's more bad actors, or is the technology making it easier? I mean, why are we seeing them ramp up?
Well, there's a combination of factors. I mean, just speaking most generally, obviously, all of our lives over the last couple of decades have moved substantially online. All of the things that we do that carry value, our communications with each other, our exchange of goods and services, our creativity, our watching entertainment of all kinds, all of that is now in the digital domain. So as cybersecurity professionals put it, the attack surface is very large. That is to say, the amount of value that's online, the number of vulnerabilities that are now out there is extremely high. And then the factors that you note are very important. So there have been obviously advances in cybersecurity technologies on both sides. There have been important advances in terms of defending organizations. There have been very important advances in terms of, and unfortunate advances in terms of, the attackers and the technologies and the techniques that they use. Add into that the pandemic, which created a perfect storm of cybersecurity vulnerabilities. Business processes were disrupted. People were working from home, often with insecure technologies. A very uncertain time for everybody, and that created an enormous number of vulnerabilities and opportunities for cybersecurity attackers. So all of these pieces go together. And I'd just add one more, which is the geopolitical environment internationally in terms of sovereign states harboring cybersecurity attackers of different kinds is another factor. So all of these going together to create a very dangerous environment.
And that's the interesting point, you know, now that you have governments that are, you know, maybe not actively involved, but at least aware of what's going on and harboring it, it tells me that there's a lot of money to be made here, right? Like, we hear about these scams here and there, the gift card, but obviously they're making massive amounts of money, be it through the ransomware. I mean, obviously it's worth their while, I guess, is the point, right?
It absolutely is. People shouldn't be confused about ransomware attackers. This is not teenagers in the basement, randomly using their spare time to cause mischief. Ransomware is a multi-billion dollar international industrial sector. It's very well organized. It is very well funded. It has its own supply chains, its own products and services, and it operates with the tacit approval of sovereign countries that, frankly, want cybersecurity attackers to attack targets in the West. So we think of Russia, we think of Iran, we think of North Korea. ransomware attackers operate from these jurisdictions with impunity. And these are the kinds of attacks that we're seeing on major Western targets of real importance to our society and our economy. But the reason ransomware attacks happen is because it has proven to be a very lucrative market for international criminals to play in. And unfortunately, we don't see that slowing down anytime soon. In fact, we see that increasing.
Does that play into the targeting of, like we hear about the hospitals, like you said, infrastructure, things like that? I mean, obviously the pressure when you're targeting something like a healthcare system, the likelihood that you can ask for a lot more money and get it, it goes up, doesn't it?
It does. And this is one of the problematic dynamics. Ransomware attackers are incented to attack the most important institutions in our society because it's those institutions that can least afford to be offline, to have their services, their products that they offer to be unavailable. So it's maximum leverage for the attackers when they attack these kinds of institutions. We had a recent attack in Toronto on SickKids Hospital. This is exactly what we're talking about. Newfoundland and Labrador suffered a very significant attack in terms of its healthcare system. We saw the Colonial Pipeline attack in the United States, critical energy infrastructure. So unfortunately, the ransomware attackers see their maximum leverage coming from institutions and organizations that are really at the heart of our society and our economy. The more important the organization, the more important the work that it does, the more likely it is, unfortunately, to be the target of these kinds of attacks.
So what's the answer, Charles? Is there one? I mean, can you protect yourself from these kinds of acts?
Yeah, so there are different kinds of answers. There's a system-wide answer, which is that, number one, we need to have more conversations like this one. We need to acknowledge that cybersecurity is a major challenge for all of us. Governments and the public and private sectors need to invest attention and money and time into answering this challenge. People, processes, and technologies need to be adopted. So people need to be trained, both cybersecurity operators and, general employees, about the importance of maintaining basic cybersecurity best practices. Processes have to be developed in organizations of all kinds around reacting to cybersecurity attacks and managing cybersecurity attacks when they happen. For larger or critical organizations, the question isn't, are you going to be attacked? The question isn't, when are you going to be attacked? The question is, are you going to be attacked? In other words, you will be attacked. The only question is when.
Right, exactly.
And so that's a critical piece. And finally, technologies have to be adopted so that these infrastructures, these networks can be defended most effectively.
Last one, and I'll let you go. Obviously, we do a ton of work here at the station and with the network in terms of cybersecurity. We all have to go through different training modules. So that's a good thing, and I think all companies should be doing it. What about me personally, walking around with my phone and my iPad and things like that? I mean, are there things that, the individual should be aware of and worried about?
Yeah, there is. I mean, there are important best practices that everyone can adopt. Update your software on your phones and on your laptops regularly. Patch software and other applications that you have regularly when patches come out. Do not invest your personal financial information in websites or in apps that you're unsure about, that you're uncertain as to the validity or legitimacy of those pieces. Don't click on links, a classic one, in emails that you receive from senders that you don't know or don't understand why they're sending you those pieces. And probably the best final piece of advice is back up your data and your all the pieces of information that you want to you want to keep backup so that if you are the victim of a cybersecurity attack, obviously you have the backups there to help you out.
Yeah, you're not helpless.
All of these pieces, you're not helpless, and you've got a way to recover from a cybersecurity attack. Unfortunately, you know, this is the new normal for all of us. This is the new world that we're all living in. The digital environment brings a lot of benefits for all of us. It also brings these dangers, and we can all play our part in making things just a little bit safer.
Charles, great advice. Thank you so much for being here. I really appreciate your time.
Happy to help, Shay. Thanks for the conversation.
You bet. That's Charles Finley, the founding executive director of Rogers Cybersecurity Catalyst Center at Toronto Metropolitan University.
Taylor, I don't know about you, but sometimes when I read business news, I can't help but think, what does any of this have to do with me?
I hear you, Sarah. Like, why should I care about backlogs at Vancouver's port or our battery supply chain?
But when you really dig into these stories, you start to see they actually have a huge impact on our day-to-day lives.
And that's exactly what we're going to do on our new weekly podcast, Free Lunch by the Peak.
We'll explore these issues through deep dive interviews with Canada's brightest minds across economics, business, tech, and finance.
Join us every Tuesday for new episodes. Search for Free Lunch by the Peak wherever you get your podcasts.